If we don't endeavor to obey him, we will become blind to his word. We might read it. We might even read it all the way through every year. But if we don't believe that we need to obey him, really, we're not even going to see it anymore.
This is Alan Gilman with Thinking Biblically. Thinking Biblically is a podcast dedicated to exploring how all of Scripture speaks to all of life. Well, this past Sunday, I was back at All Saints Lutheran Church here in Ottawa, and I was speaking on the benefits of regular personal Bible reading. But it's not enough to simply read the Bible. We need to do so on its own terms. To do that, we need to be aware of common misconceptions we may have that can easily obscure God's intentions as expressed through his word. One of the most common misconceptions is how the concept of the law is a negative one. In this short segment, I explain how law, Torah in Hebrew, is best understood as teaching or direction, and how the five books of Moses are foundational to the whole rest of Scripture. See you on the other side.
In Deuteronomy 29:29 that I read, it says that the revealed things belong to us and to our children forever, that we might do all the words of this law. Now, in my experience, again, we've had the privilege of being part of and fellowshipping with so many different types of believers and different kinds of fellowships, and yet very commonly there's so much misunderstanding about this term law. The Hebrew word is Torah. Some of you have heard me speak on this sort of thing before. But the word Torah, so it is that we may do all the words of this Torah. The Hebrew word Torah means direction or instruction. It's God saying, this is the way to go, walk in it. To ignore it invites death. To walk in it is to walk in the path of life. It's not a term, Torah is not a term to describe what we might call a cold, impersonal legal code, which is when we read the word law, that's what we think it is, because we're used to having laws. And so the word law sounds like something that's there to restrict us. And I don't have enough time to explore the ways that church has misunderstood this word, but hopefully this will be clear enough. The word law, which is basically because the Greek, when the Old Testament was translated into Greek before the coming of Jesus, the Greek word was nomos, and it's the normal word for law. So it's not a wrong word, but it does kind of create these misleading negative, best thing way I could describe it, like vibes, misleading negative vibes. And the word law, in the way we understand it, it erects unnecessary barriers to the Scriptures, especially to the books of Moses, which the books of Moses are also called the Torah or the law. And it's called that because it contains God's instruction and directions. The five books of Moses, the Torah, contains Torah. And so, because of all this negative connotation about what law is, we could tend to ignore it. Also, and this is true in some circles more than other ones, the terms law and gospel have been contrasted. But all I'm going to say about this at this time is that this contrast between law or Torah and gospel has more to do with how a relationship to God works, not how Torah instructs us to live out that relationship. So there is an issue about what constitutes right relationship with God. And the gospel teaches us that it's by faith in his son. And that's what establishes right relationship. Then how do we live out that right relationship? And more I have been seeing among believers that the answer to the question, well, how should we live out that relationship? It comes down to, it doesn't really matter. As long as you've got that relationship, you're good. That's one of the most damaging things that I think has ever happened to the church in history. It's come and gone through the centuries, and it's with us today like never before. That is just so contrary to the teaching of the Lord. God's word, the revelation of God's truth in his word, the ways that he has revealed, his Torah, so to speak, are not negative. They are God's instructions for living. It's not just there to show us what we've done wrong and make us feel guilty so that then we can go to the Lord and be forgiven. It's there, it shows us how to live. And if we don't understand that, if we don't understand that, just like in Psalm 119, which celebrates Torah constantly and has all these various terms for God's word, and Torah is repeated over and over and over and over again, and the psalm celebrates that because the psalmist is celebrating that God has revealed his ways to us. What a wonderful thing to have at our disposal. What we have in God's word is his revealed will for us to live by. If we don't believe that, if we believe his Torah is only negative, well, we're going to ignore it. And we're ignoring it at our peril. What we do have in the Torah, the books of Moses, for example, and all that's contained there is actually what the Torah is foundational to Scripture. Of course, it's in those books we learn about creation. We learn about the role of human beings. We learn about how sin came to be among the human experience and how God's curse came upon our first parents' rebellion in the garden. And so it provides general understanding of the nature of life, of right and wrong, of goodness. And as we go on in the books of Moses, goodness, justice, human responsibility, and so on, there's just so much there of who God is, what he's like, his character, his nature, and what he calls human beings to be and to do. So when we talk about reading the Bible effectively, we need to especially address our relationship to the books of Moses in particular, because they are foundational to the rest of Scripture. I already mentioned how Psalm 119 celebrates Torah, since it contains God's directions. The historical books, Joshua, Judges, Samuel, Kings, they demonstrate to us what happens when God's word, his ways, his Torah, is obeyed or disobeyed. The prophetic books call people to account in relationship to Torah, to God's ways. The wisdom books, Psalms, Proverbs, and so on, they explore life in the light of God's Torah. And the New Testament resolves the sin issue so that people, including those from among the nations, it's good news, can live out God's instructions. That's why we read in James chapter 1, 22 to 25, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's been going on since the beginning. That is, if we can say we have this relationship with God, but then not live it out, that's completely hypocritical going on. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and once forgets what he was like. And we see where we're getting it wrong, and then we don't do anything about it. And I wonder, the more I think about it, it's a silly thing, looking in the mirror, seeing what's wrong, not doing anything about it. Maybe it's supposed to be funny, but who's the joke on? This is serious stuff. But the one who looks into the perfect law, James doesn't have an issue with dealing with that word law, and he calls it the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The way to interact with Scripture is to trust and obey. We learn in the Bible that it's not up to us. It's up to God. He's made the provision. We put our trust in him, not in ourselves. We acknowledge that we fail. We ask God for forgiveness when we do. And then we seek to do the things that he's telling us to do. If we don't endeavor to obey him, we will become blind to his word. We might read it. We might even read it all the way through every year. But if we don't believe that we need to obey him, really, we're not even going to see it anymore.
What do you think? Was this helpful? If so, share it around. Also, don't forget to like and subscribe. And if you're interested in weekly Torah reflections from a messianic perspective, check out my Torah Bites site and YouTube Torah Bites playlist. It's also available as an audio podcast. If you prefer the printed page, there's also my Torah Bites compilation of 54 messages called Torah Light. I've put links to all this in the description. Please place your comments and questions below or email me directly at comments@thinkingbiblically.org. Until next time, this is Alan Gilman with Thinking Biblically.